When you need expert help and advice on issues affecting your business, NFU Cymru, we're here for you.
Farmers Guardian is proud to work alongside the Rock and Roll Farming Podcast. For all the latest news and features from across the ag industry, head to fginsight.com. You'll also find a wide variety of advice pieces to help you and your farming business flourish.
Want to get to know the people who produce the food that you eat? This is the place. Step this way and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming, episode 131. I'm your host, Will Evans, and today's show sees the return of previous guests. Welcome back, Peter and Paula Hines.
Good morning, Will Evans. How have you been?
I'm very, very well. Now, you guys are only the second guests to have been on Rock and Roll Farming twice after the great Dr. Jude Kappa, so it's quite a privilege.
Yeah, and how fitting is that? Because nobody knows this, but I think it's probably a very fitting time to mention it. Jude Kappa is one of our auctioneers at the Raring to Go auction in Shrewsbury. And look, Jude is such an inspiration and has such a great understanding of our industry, but she's also so passionate about it. And she's faced huge challenges, and I mean, she's inspired so many because she's such a powerful person to do what she does, and to have her standing up there auctioning animals on the day, it's that brings a tear to my eye, you know, because she's just a legend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, for listeners who might not have heard the first podcast we did, tell us a bit about yourselves.
So we're dairy farmers, milking 180 cows in Southwest Ireland, in Cork. So we're not far from Cork City. New entrance as such to farming. Both of us didn't grow up in a farming background. And I started farming in 2010. Paula was working in the retail sector, and she joined the farm in 2014. Never milked a cow in her life, but she's just after jumping into the podcast because she finished the cows this morning.
Yeah, we can tell who's really in charge, Paula.
I love spending time, quality time with my ladies. It's the best time of the day for me, in the morning and the evening, doing the milking.
Yeah.
It's kind of me time with the cows, and just I find it really relaxing and therapeutic. And sure, we have to get the old selfie, and there's a couple of cows that comes in for the snuggles, and you know, so it's all good.
All right. So what you're really here today to talk about is Raring to Go, as you mentioned briefly earlier there, Pete. Tell us what it is to start with.
So Raring to Go is a mental health awareness campaign in agriculture. I think anyone that knows us knows that we've done a reasonable amount of work on mental health and agriculture in the last few years. And I shared my own story publicly. I struggled with depression a good few years ago. And since I shared that story in 2017, which totally happened by accident, to be honest with you, because I said one word publicly, and I was inundated with messages from people that struggle with their mental health, and it's something that we're both passionate about. So how Raring to Go came about was I had to make a speech at the Farmer of the Year Awards last year, and Helen Carroll, who is a TV presenter over here, she was emceeing on the night. We're great friends with Helen, and I got a phone call a week later from her, and she said a friend of hers who she'd met the following morning at breakfast runs a suicide prevention charity called Chalk Tom, and she'd really love us to meet up and just have a chat and see if we could do a bit more in agriculture. And at the time we kind of thought, okay, so it's all well and good to have a conversation, but why not try and do a little bit more and try and open up the conversation and also raise a bit of money for Chalk Tom along the way. So we set up Raring to Go in late 2018 with the view of creating awareness, but also having a charity auction with all the proceeds going to Chalk Tom. We had that auction on the 2nd of March. But while we were putting the auction together, we also had a conversation between us and one of the sponsors about potentially doing something in the UK this year. So we had that conversation. This UK event was actually discussed last February, and that's how long we've been working on it. But so, yeah, after the auction in Ireland, which raised over 17,500 euros, wow. We started working on the UK event, and as much as people were keen to have an auction in the UK, we were very keen to do more and get more of a message out there and see what we could put together. So we came up with the idea of running a conference and a workshop, and then having the auction in the afternoon, supporting three amazing charities. Because I suppose, look, the UK is such a vast country compared to Ireland, and there needs to be support in so many different areas that we're trying to spread what funds we'd raise as best as possible. So we chose the DPJ Foundation in Pembrokeshire, and I think the work they do is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we chose Cheshire Agricultural Chaplaincy, and we've met a lot of the guys, and they were there the evening that we launched it, in Tom and Karen Halton's farm in Cheshire, and the work that they're doing in Cheshire is phenomenal. Like, they're really helping people that are feeling lonely and people that are struggling, and trying to get people to engage more within the community. And we're also supporting the FCN charities. So, I mean, they're providing to support to so many smaller organizations around the UK, and the work they're doing is phenomenal. And so that's how the event came about. And our idea with the conference is to highlight the resources that are available there to people. So, like, we've so many amazing organizations speaking at the conference, and we've also built in a workshop that will hopefully help people to build resilience and give them the tools and the strength and the power to cope with the everyday struggles in agriculture. And it's a tough old game that we're all working in, and people need to know how they're going to cope when the pressure comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was the event well received in Ireland when you had it there?
It was. I mean, like, look, we've a totally different system over here, so it's predominantly spring calving in Ireland. We had to run the auction in March, which in some ways it probably wasn't the ideal time, because farmers are exceptionally busy. But then we were trying to simplify it for farmers, because once a calf reaches 42 days of age, it has to be TB tested. So we were trying to sit inside that window that, say, a February born calf could be auctioned without having to be without the farmer having to be required to TB tested. So it was exceptionally well received. And I mean, look, raising 17,500 euros, that's, yeah, that's gone off for counselling to, what is it? It's that's probably going to provide counselling to somewhere between 36 and 40 people or families that are contemplating suicide or that have lost someone to suicide this year. So, you know, it's gonna help a few people, and there's so much more we can do. And on the day, like, the support we got from the industry was phenomenal. There were so many companies came on board and sponsored, And also having the celebrity auctioneers, like we had John Hayes, who was an Irish international rugby player, former Irish international rugby player. His wife, Fiona Steed, who also played international women's rugby for Ireland. We had Pascal Sheehy, who is a news reporter in Ireland. He's the Southwest correspondent. And we also had Helen Carroll, who was a presenter on Ear to the Ground. And they all put a different twist on how they'd auction animals. And there was great fun. There was a good atmosphere on the day. And, you know, you need to get a day out and enjoy yourself in farming too, and that's what we wanted to provide with it. And I think that's what we're looking at with the UK event too, is, you know, empowering farmers but also having a bit of fun in the afternoon with the auction. And the support we've got for the UK event is phenomenal. Like, it's any company that we've chatted to is has been on board straight away. And like, we've got 12 companies sponsoring us in the UK, and some of those are Irish companies, but just passionate about trying to make a difference in the industry.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short ad break now to talk about agricultural weighing specialist Griffith Elder. Griffith Elder specialise in agriculture with their weighing equipment. They design, manufacture here in the UK and supply weigh bridges, portable weigh beams, multi-axle weigh bridges and a host of other weighing equipment for weighing on the farm. The scales are a great way to know how much you've taken from the field and keep track what you have coming in and going out. The portable weigh beams are incredibly easy to install, so no need for any groundworks, and can be placed straight in the yard or moved from store to store as and when you need. All of their scales come with an extensive range of recording equipment options and farm management software. And one very popular piece of kit is their cab fob system, which enables the driver to record the weight of their load without having to leave the comfort of the cab. Built to last for decades, Griffith Elder pride themselves in making simple to install, easy to operate and proven longevity weighing equipment for all their products.
Yeah. Paula, do you think that we are getting better at talking about mental health in farming generally?
I think slowly we definitely are. It's taken, I think there's always going to be a slight stigma attached to it.
Yeah.
But when you're out on the ground now and at shows and stuff, you know, people are more willing to come up and talk to, especially to us, because now they kind of half know us from social media and all the interviews and stuff we would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it'll always nearly come up in conversation now, you know, whereas before people would never even put mental health into a sentence. And, you know, they're kind of saying, you know, they'd come up and they don't know, how are things going? You know, geez, I had a bit of a tough week last week. And but like before, that would never have happened. So I think slowly, bit by bit, it is starting to improve. There's still a lot of work to do, but sure, we're just going to have to keep at it and trying to keep raising as much awareness as we can, and just to let people know that it is okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has good days, everyone has bad days. So I think it's definitely improving bit by bit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I would definitely agree. Now, you are a busy couple. You've got three children, a dairy farm to run. Trying to organise something like this must be very time consuming. So why do you choose to do it?
Look, we're passionate about it. We meet so many farmers that are struggling, and we've got so many messages from them. We know what it's like to be in their shoes.
I suppose the other side of it as well, myself and Pete are lucky in the fact that we farm together. So we can kind of take the pressures off each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of farmers out there farming on their own, and they're obviously going to feel the pressure more mm-hmm. with things. So I think for us, it's nice to give something back to other people, and, you know, meeting different people, and, you know, people will come up and put their trust in you to have the conversation with you if they are not feeling well. Like, we've loads of people that will contact us just to get stuff off their chest or have a rant or ask for advice. And I think that's what keeps pushing us, is that, you know, we can see that it is making a difference to some people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty powerful thing, isn't it? If that's happening, people getting in touch with you and asking for advice and things. I mean, that must make you feel that the work you're doing is worthwhile.
It does make it feel worthwhile. Yeah. And like, there's some days we look at each other and we kind of go, why in the name of God do we do this to ourselves?
Yeah.
But the stories like that, like last year, well, I suppose it's 18 months ago, there was a fella contacted Pete on DM on Twitter, and he was in a really bad place. And like, he was contemplating suicide, but Pete started chatting to him, and you know, they kept in contact over course of a couple of months. And, you know, he came out the other side, and now he's happily married, and he still keeps in contact with us. And it's those kind of stories that, you know, makes us do it and keeps driving, you know, just to keep driving the message home. Like,
Yeah. No, I can understand that. Okay, so you mentioned, oh, go on, Pete, sorry.
Yeah, the other thing is, we get to meet so many people that we're friends with on Twitter, and like when we were watching the UK Raring to Go event, like, we met some great people that we're friends with on Twitter that day and that evening. And there's a list that we have for the event on the 13th of September, and that just people that we chat every day on social media. And I think we're excited, and they're excited because we get to meet in person.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So, yes, 13th of September, and it's at Shrewsbury Livestock Auction.
Yeah, and I listen to your podcasts regularly, Will, and I'm going to have to stop you now for a minute because I just need to jump to a short commercial break here. Putting me off my commercial break. would just like to thank our very generous sponsors, Forlac, Steamex, Ireland Genetics, Kite Consulting, The Farmer's Guardian, who we all read, BASF Ireland, Platts Animal Bedding have kindly jumped on board this week. We have to give huge thanks to Halls, because from the moment that we mentioned this, they were on board, and we speak to them regularly, and I think they're extremely excited to be able to host the event. And also the NFU, I think having the National Farmers Union support it and get behind it is great to see them embrace it. And so we'd just like to acknowledge and thank all our sponsors, and now we can return to normal business with Rocky.
Welcome back to the show after that short commercial break there. So what's the actual format of the day going to be then?
So we're kicking off at 9 a.m. in the morning. We have a good list of speakers prior to a coffee break. Then we'll be jumping onto the workshop. The workshop is about 90 minutes, so it's... The workshop is an extremely well put together piece of the overall event, and the woman that's putting it together, Creda, we've worked with her previously. She's one of the top sports psychologists, but we've worked with her in the agricultural sector before, and the messaging and the tools that she delivers are extremely powerful, and it's proven to work in the sector. And once the workshop is finished, we have the three charities that we've chosen. They will be speaking, questions and answers. We're all going to break for lunch, and then we're going to kick off into the auction then, hopefully somewhere between 2:30 and 2:00. And we've one very, very personal story in the conference on the day, from a hugely inspirational woman, Liz Hogarth, and just having Liz agree to come and speak at the conference is huge for us, because we know the full background of how she struggled and how her family have struggled, and you know, they've gone through such a tough event in their lives, and she's just a real genuine person, and we're so proud to have her agree to come and speak at the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how can people listening get involved? You've been asking people to donate calves or sheep. How can they go about that?
Look, anyone that's interested in coming to the workshop and the conference, if you go on at RearingG on Twitter, the registration or the events page is there. We'd greatly appreciate it if you pre-register. It's a free event, but how we run the workshop is determined by exactly how many people are going to come on the day, so we need to get a handle on numbers. And for anyone that's willing, interested in donating a calf or a breeding hogget to the auction, they can contact Hawes in Shrewsbury. They can also contact myself, and you'll find my contact details on the Raring to Go page on Twitter, or also by contacting any of the three charities, and they'll relay the message. For anyone that donates a calf, they're getting a free bag of Blossom Milk Replacer from Volec. And for anyone that donates a breeding hogget, they get a free bag of Lamlac from Volec. So we like to try and give something back as much as we're looking for farmers to donate something. And it's great having Volec sponsoring the likes of that.
Yeah, yeah, no, fantastic. Have you had lots of people register so far? Are you expecting big crowds?
Yeah, registration has gone well. Us farmers are always totally disorganized.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of last minute registrations, I guess.
You're going and you're kind of thinking, yes, thanks for telling me, but could you please register?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see you, but I still haven't registered. You kind of think, oh, this is great. But we really have a good handle on how many people are going to turn up on the day. So many animals are donated. We're so there, like.
And how long are you guys over in the UK for? Just a couple of days.
So we're going over to UK Dairy Day. So we're going over that early that morning, and just want to catch up with friends and also catch up with share the companies that are sponsoring us. And then we are so we have the Thursday free around Shrewsbury to just get organised for the event, and we want to try and catch up with one or two friends that afternoon if possible. And then we are going, we have the Rain to Go event on the Friday, and hopefully get back to Ireland that night at some stage and get back to farming business.
Yeah, get back to the cows, Paula.
Yeah, exactly. 3 months with me.
I think, look, we'll... You know, we need to be talking about mental health more, and us as an agricultural industry and as farmers, and you know what I say, agricultural industry, because you know, it's not just farmers, it's the whole industry and all the organisations. We all need to be united and keep the conversation going and give farmers the tools to cope with pressures, because look, you've weather events, you've Brexit, you've so many challenges been thrown at farmers year on year, that farmers need to be empowered with the tools to cope with the pressures of everyday farming. And I suppose, look, even just looking at social media, and I'm on social media with a few years, and maybe in the last 12-18 months I've kind of seen divides kind of come on social media between farmers. And I don't mean that, I'm not aiming this at anyone in a personal way, but us farmers, we face so much attack from outside the agricultural sector that we should try and do more to stick together ourselves. Mm-hmm. on social media. And I'm all for debate, but I see a lot of the conversation going beyond that and getting a little bit nasty at times. And I think we need to be kind of conscious that the public are looking in at these discussions and these arguments and some of the divide that's growing in the ag sector on social media. And I just want to say to people, look, I think we need to view this in a better way, in that we're never all going to agree on the same thing. And that's a given. And look, I get it that there's people on social media that are in the same job as me and they don't bloody like me. And that's grand. I take it. And they probably, if they don't like me, they probably won't listen to this podcast. So that's a thing. But look, you need to view it as, if you met a person on the street and you didn't like where they were coming from or what they stood for, would you walk past them and ignore them, or would you stop and have a big old rant at them? And for me, look, if I see someone and I walk past them, try and say it in tone, and I don't agree with their views, I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And I've started to learn that on social media, and I try and do it as best I can. I don't always stick to it, but I just try to ignore them and keep going. And I think we all need to look at it and that way. It's very easy to say nasty stuff on social media, but would you say it to someone's face? And I firmly believe that the bulk of us wouldn't, and maybe we need to think more like that. That, you know, stop being brave just because you're holding a phone, and think of the person that's on the receiving end, because you never know what someone's going through. And I've had some shitty days now, and excuse the term now, but we may be blunt about it. And you know, you get a message from someone, and you can be damn sure when you're in a dark place, you'll take it personal. You know, and that's the way I see about it. And I just think we all need to be more aware of the challenges that are facing all farmers, and try and get on, or try and stay clear of each other if we can't get on, and be aware that we're just for the people that are, I suppose, promoting agriculture, that they're working damn hard at it. They probably don't get enough thanks for it. They probably don't want any thanks for it anyway. They're just passionate about the industry they work in. And at the end of the day, we're all trying to make a few bob out of growing crops or milking cows or rearing livestock and selling them for beef or lamb or pork or chicken or whatever. And, you know, we're just all trying to keep going and survive and make a few bobs. So for anyone that out there that is on the receiving end of a bit of crap on social media, don't ever take it personally, because I can assure you it's not. And for anyone that's dishing out a bit of crap on social media, just be aware of who's on the receiving end, because you may not always know where they are, where they are, how they're feeling.
And the mute button can be your friend.
Yes. Yeah, definitely can. I suppose the other side to that, though, is that social media, as you and I have found, you've mentioned hoping to meet up with social media friends at the auction in Shrewsbury. It can also be a really great thing for isolation and for helping with mental health, can't it?
Oh, it's a powerful tool. And I mean, like, look, I speak to so many people that have been challenged, you know, are going through a rough patch, and they'll send you a DM or whatever. And I've even met people on the side of the road that I don't engage with on social media, and they probably don't spend a lot of time, but they'll have read a conversation or a story or something that you put up on social media, and they just need someone to chat to. So, you know, it's a huge way to deliver a message to people of the importance of talking and about looking after ourselves and getting the message to people that there's always someone there willing to help. Like, so it's social media is a powerful tool to deliver that message, and likewise it's a powerful tool to sell what we all do as farmers. And it's amazing the amount of people that look in at social media and don't interact on it, but they know what we're all doing. And get reminded 3 months later, oh, I saw what you were doing. And it's like the movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, no, we're really looking forward to the event in on the 13th of September, and hope as many will turn up as possible. We've some fantastic things to auction on the day, and we have a good few calves and a good few hoggets, and hopefully people will consider donating more, because all the proceeds on the day are going to the three charities. Absolutely no money from the companies that are sponsoring us or from the auction is being used to deliver the conference and the workshop. I think the conference and the workshop must be one of the lowest, the low budget events that ever happened on the planet at the moment.
No, it'd be fantastic.
Manufacturing Biros is looking in. We're looking for about somewhere between 100 and 150 biros, if that's it. That's how tight the budget is. It's zero.
Well, right then, guys. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast again and giving up your time to do so. And thanks for everything you do for the industry, both of you, helping so many people, and keep up the great work. And hopefully I will see you both in Shrewsbury.
Looking forward to it, mate. Thanks for the chat. Really appreciate it.
No
thanks,
problem. Will. No problem. And to everyone at home, thanks for listening, and hope to see you next time. I've been Will Evans. This has been Rock and Roll Farming. Thank you and good night.